the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. You know, in this world of technology, you're going to have some glitches, and that's what we did this morning. But don't worry about it because she is here. She has arrived. Six-time author Lisa Marie Pulaski. She drives you to change your downward spiral into upside thinking through leadership and coaching. Lisa Marie pours her years of training and discipline and skill in federal law enforcement into the pages of six books. And a thriving coach, a trainer, a public speaker, a member of the EBC, she has developed the Upside Thinking Leadership Model to assist others in areas of leadership, vulnerability, connection, communication, performance, passion, and productivity. And how to get on a podcast when it's not working. I'm so glad to have her here. I was looking so forward to this. She is an accomplished author. I've met her in person at an event that I was in, and she is just over the moon, and she's got a great conversation for us. So we want to welcome her to the Edge. Good morning, Lisa Marie Pulaski. How are you?
I am fabulous. Good morning, April, and good morning, Brains. Yay!
We are here to
fabulous.
Do
I'm so excited.
This is great. Yeah. This is great. I've been trying to get you on here for a while. You are just, you know, you're a busy lady. You were doing all kind of stuff, traveling around the world, encouraging people to be thought leaders, writing books. Your work in law enforcement. Tell us a little bit about your history and where all this began for you.
Woo! Isn't that a big question? So, April, I love it. You know, my background, grew up as a little kid in Pennsylvania and in Allentown, and my background would have had me be more of a statistic than a success based on just how I grew up and the calling the police for domestic violence that was going on in the household. And I look back now and say, oh my gosh. And how many people can say that, right? Lots of people can say, gosh, you know, the journey has been an amazing one. And so grateful for all that has happened that has allowed me to stand where I am today. So from growing up in Pennsylvania and then heading out into banking and from banking into law enforcement, loved my work in federal law enforcement where I actually was at 9/11 and I got to see some of the, what I would call the unthinkable. And see the compassion that rises up in people in difficult times. See people pull together, and that's what I choose to remember most from that period. And
well, it was such a trying time. Was such a trying time for all of us. You know, emotionally, I had been there. You know, I had seen those Twin Towers, and I remember the last time I was in New York, I was looking up at the subway sign, and the subway sign said Twin Towers, and then I went up the escalator, and I stood there, and it was there no more. But the energy of the people just reverberated through my soul. There's no way that you can stand on those grounds and not feel that energy. There's something about it. So I commend you and all of the people, you know, that were there, that lived through it, that survived through it, and the families that were victimized by it. But this encouraged you to springboard into law enforcement. I want to hear about your federal law enforcement career in intelligence. That's great work.
Okay.
And a woman at that.
Well, you know, I've the thought that it was going to be different than it was, April, I really thought that it was going to be sort of like an episode of Charlie's Angels back in the day where I was going to get, you know, a cute outfit and you know, have some adventures. And it didn't turn out to be like that at all. So it was definitely interesting as far as being a female. I chose it because I wanted to make a difference in the world, and I wanted to do something that could positively impact people's lives. And that's why I went into law enforcement in the Newark, New Jersey, New York area, and had my challenges because I had long blonde hair and red, white, and blue nails, and the guys did not take me seriously in the beginning. And I also took myself a little bit too seriously on the job and learned so much about leadership and about who I am as a person, who I am and clearly what it is that I'm capable of. When I first started, which was in 1994, there was no women's bathroom at the pier.
Wow.
So I should think about that. 1994.
Not that long ago.
I have shoes longer than that. So yeah, it's just not that long ago. And that is just incredible. So a lot of things that for me as a woman that were surprises in being in 1994. And yet, being a woman, I believe, was a huge asset. Some people say that's not the case because it's such a male-dominated field. And I would say that being a woman was an asset because there were guys that did treat me differently, and that was a huge learning experience. And sometimes how they treated me in being differently was actually really a blessing. So it was a great experience for me. And when you ask about the job itself, I worked in money laundering in investigations. I worked in narcotics interdiction. I worked in commercial fraud, looking at the centralized air cargo examination facility. Hey, it's the federal government. We give a lot of acronyms. So this was a very, very large, long name for this facility, and it was where all air cargo shipments would come in, had seen large, you know, sums of dope on the pier, thousands and thousands of pounds, as well as just millions of dollars hidden in auto parts, in containers and fish, and then of course all the trafficking that happens in human
beings.
Fish?
You mean to tell me they're smuggling in fish?
Smuggling in fish.
Is there no shame? Well, you know what? I'm happy that you are finding your passion in writing and in coaching. But I wish you would go back, because there's a lot of trickery that's going on at them peers, federal government, money laundering, and all that other stuff. There's a lot of that stuff still going on, and we need great people like you. You mentioned something, though.
Aww,
and this is something that you mentioned. It was very personal, and this is, I think, how we really had a deep connection. And so that's what we like to do on The Edge. We kind of like to hear the human side of people. And you had said something to me to the effect that you were very guarded and you had took yourself too seriously about what was going on, and you were more reserved. And, you know, tough job that you had. And like you said, experiencing and seeing domestic violence in your home, you had to be hard. You had to be guarded. That was your shield. That was your protection.
Yeah.
That was your armor. You know,
but
when did you break out of that shell? Because I saw you, and I saw you on that stage, and I could hear the trepidation in your voice. I could hear your voice quivering. I could hear you going back to whatever that moment was in time that you were thinking about. But I also felt a genuineness. I saw your softness. I saw your wanting to engage and your humanity and really embracing the group of the EBC. We're going to talk about the EBC in a minute, but tell me, when did you crack that shell, and how did you do it?
That's a great question, and the beginning of it happened on the job when I realized that the guys really didn't want to work with me. I was struggling, and it was painful, and so I went to a leadership course, and at that leadership course, the instructor gave a variety of assessments, and on one of the assessments, April, she stood over me and said, announced to the class, not just to me, announced to the class, Lisa is a zero.
Wow.
A zero.
Who
and,
does that?
You know, even sharing that here, that's just, it hurts. It's painful. And so on this interpersonal skills, that was the assessment. And so I had to come face to face with whatever that was and do some self-examination. I will share that no one in that course looked at me for the rest of the day. And I cried the entire way home to my very small apartment in Bayonne, New Jersey. And when I got home and spent the next couple of days thinking about it, I realized and got really clear that I had to have a conversation with myself. Lisa, you can be incredibly strong and tough, and you can be smart and right, and you just could be alone and dead. Because this was the kind of field where you need people to have your back, and you need people, you got to get along with the people you work with.
Right.
And that was a very humbling moment for me, like a real moment where I was like, oh my gosh, this is really not good.
Incredible.
Like, if I don't change this, this could be a big problem for me. And so it was the beginning of my soul journey of stepping into vulnerability, stepping into connection, stepping into really speaking my truth and being willing to listen to others and in a way that was about the humanity, about who that person standing in front of me really is, and having deep compassion for that person and whatever it is that they've gone through. And you're right, so many shields, so much built up from, you know, from the past, and it had created a hardness, you know, hardness where not one that I, you know, that I thought that I had, and certainly not one that I wanted.
Right. And it was unbeknownst to you. But after 10 years, you gained a new nickname of Mary Effin' Sunshine.
That's right. Mary Effin' Sunshine.
You became the poster child. You blossomed.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk to you about, let's talk about the EBC, and then I've got some other great questions for you.
Sure.
The Evolutionary Business Council. That is a thought-leading group of influencers and innovators that have taken on the charge of following and supporting the UN resolutions. Tell us a little bit about your involvement and connection with the EBC, and, you know, maybe give us some encouragement on some things that we can do to help the group, organization, and the world be better influencers, game changers, and get involved.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So the Evolutionary Business Council was started as the brainchild of Teresa de Grobois and a group of friends who encouraged her to start the organization. And it is, as you say, an invitation-only group of influencers, because influence really is all about being able to make a difference in the world hopefully with good actions, right? It's how big is the reach? How big is the ripple effect of whatever good it is that you're doing in the world? And so the EBC gathers thought leaders together in order to be able to expand each other's horizons, expand each other's influence so that more good can be done in the world. And of course, as you mentioned, you know, thought leadership. So that work in which others are doing, the mission of the organization and being able to affect change, this is really about, there's a quote that they sometimes use, which is, continuity gives us roots, but change gives us branches, letting us stretch and grow and reach new heights. And so right. there's constant change in the EBC around new ideas, thought leadership, what's going on in the world. And you mentioned, you know, the United Nations. You know, the United Nations, one of their initiatives is around having a very conscious world, a world where there's awareness about the issues that can have an impact that would be detrimental to all living on the planet. And so
right.
the EBC really is a force for good change in the world. And that's the
it
reason
is,
why
I'm telling you,
I'm passionate about it.
It's a vibe and a frequency among that group like no other. I mean, it is really, you know, how can I help you? How can I support you? And what can I do to
mm-hmm.
thrust
yes.
you forward?
Yes.
I want to talk about the word intelligence.
And love.
You yeah. know, intelligence is the ability to acquire and apply knowledge and skill. That can be intellect, mind, here on the edge, brain power, judgment, reasoning, understanding, comprehension, all of that. But the antonym to that is stupidity. And so what you have done is that you have been able to create an intersection between the security intelligence of the United States through the human intelligence of understanding and compassion. But now we're also moving into artificial intelligence. Tell us how your books, the information in your books, and what's rattled around in your brain that is going to create an intersection so that we are able to navigate through all of these things in the 21st century.
Ooh, you bring up artificial intelligence. This has been a big conversation. You know, intelligence. You know, my gosh. You know, what in the world? How does this? You know, be? It's a huge contrast between, as you mentioned, natural intelligence that humans have. And I just attended a conference that was all about philanthropy and all about giving back and supporting specifically organizations that are doing good in a variety of pieces of the world. One particular nonprofit doing work environmentally in Ecuador and Peru and being back to nature. And one of the pleas of this indigenous community was, will you take back to your own communities back in the world in which you live, will you share the stories of what you're seeing, and will you look to change the world and how we consume? And so here you have this indigenous, you know, population that is pleading, you know, please go back and speak about what's going on with regards to the natural intelligence. And then this other philanthropic group, which is actually out of Kenya and schools, and hearing the mothers in the videos sharing about, once again, what nature and the animal kingdom has shared with them that would be important for everyone. And yet
wow.
what we hear so much here around artificial intelligence is that this is the way of the future, this machine intelligence where we're human beings, where you and I will one day be microchipped like pets are, and
right.
it will somehow allow our bodies to function, quote, better. And what I will share from my perspective and all that I've learned, as you say, from the government, from security, from this conversation in the government being going on for a very long time, is that from my feeling, my belief, my perspective, and not from any scientific research, just from the many conversations of humans, beings all around the world, that the silence and the spaciousness and the connection, the deep connection when you stand in front of a tree and you touch it, and the wisdom, not intelligence, the wisdom that gets downloaded to you just by being outside, that connection to, you know, from earth to the clouds to what I would consider great spirit, for me has provided me with an embodiment, an inner knowing of things that that didn't come from a book, and that I just shouldn't know, that I just should not have access to. And so the machine of the human body and its connection to nature and the outside world for me is so powerful. And the more that I disconnect, the more I personally feel tapped in and grounded and connected to others, to other human beings and animals. And so for me, this conversation is, wow, one of disruption and one of what's the end result and goal? Because is it about having other people think for you? Is it about one way of thinking or being? I shared with you earlier that I look at it as my being a woman was an asset in law enforcement. I would say that 99% of people would say that's insane, that's crazy. And so looking at things in a way that are disruptive and different versus all the same, which is ultimately artificial intelligence, which is how do we do it more effectively, and we just give you the information versus you having to think on your own. So it's a real interesting conversation.
Right. Well, I mean, it's embracing the diversity. It's embracing the love. It's the texture, mm-hmm. the vibe, the energy. That's why I'm so mm-hmm. passionate about, you know, On the Edge with April Mahoney. I don't want just anybody on my airways. I want the right somebodies. I want that connectivity. I want people that are able to agree to disagree, that come with a different perspective. I want to learn and grow and branch out. I don't want to be a mechanical animal, just, you know, continuously mm-hmm. regurgitating one conversation, one point of view, one opinion, one texture, one taste. All of that, it would be horrible. It would be horrible. So we want to jump into you being an author of 6 books. You are busy, busy writing. And one of our wonderful brains, Regina Mullen of Louisiana, was the winner of one of our signature mugs and your book. And I'm so jealous because she got the book before I could read it, but you sent another one, and I'm going to read that. Tell us, what in the world are you writing about?
Writing about vulnerability, writing about forgiveness, writing about all of it from the leadership perspective. That is so my passion. And I got to just give you a shout out because, April, you are so real, and you are someone who takes a stand for the different perspective, and it's what I appreciate. And so I'm not interested in writing about leadership from the lens of here's the 7 million leadership books that have been written before, and let me share just one granule different. I'm looking at examining at it from from that depth of vulnerability and forgiveness that oftentimes gets in the way of truly being able to lead, because people are carrying their sack of what didn't work around with them instead of all the things that did. So I just so deeply admire that you're willing to take a look and examine everyone that you have on the show from a different lens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, we talk to the religious leaders. We talk to the atheists. We talk to the homeless. We talk to the filthy rich. It makes the young 14-year-old entrepreneurs, 85-year-old senior citizens, somebody I met on the bus stop. So, it, you know, diversity is what has made us who we are, what we are. And if we dilute that, it's going to be detrimental to all of society.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. April, I have in my bio, it says connected to God, right? And I will tell you, I take a stand because that's my belief. I don't have the expectation that everyone else has that belief. I want to have those conversations so there can be more understanding. And that just, and for me to dilute that and to not speak about that or honor that or own that, also doesn't make me incredibly authentic. So it is a piece where I'm like, woohoo, like that I really enjoy about you and your work.
Well, I enjoy you and your work. And, you know, you are pouring into people and something organically and beautiful is blooming from that. And I thank you for opening up here on the edge and, you know, letting us have a snapshot inside of your brain, what you're doing. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want to purchase some of your books, if they're interested in coaching, if you have an online program. Please let them have more of you. How do we get in contact with you, Lisa?
Yay, brains. I am at upsidethinking.com, UPSIDE, and the word thinking.com. That's the name of my business because I am an upside thinker, as April said, and I have an annual event that I love called Design Your Destiny Live, which is all about making a bigger positive difference in the world, and it happens every January in Manhattan Beach on January 23rd through 25th in 2020, and there's also
I'm sorry to interject, but you're going to send more information on that because I'm going to be there, so you're going to get closer to that time. Okay.
I am. We actually launch soon, and I'm very excited. This is my calling. This is the one place that it's like you get all these people who are all brains in the room.
Right. Absolutely.
So, yay.
So I cut you off, I think, before you gave your website location. Can you give that to us as well?
Sure. So the website
you said it was
upside thinking. Yep. Yeah, and there is a separate website for the event, which is designyourdestinylive.com. However, you can click on that on the Upside Thinking website. So
all right.
There's a link.
Well, I'm
there.
So glad that we got it together and that we were able to get you here on the show so that we can get our heads out of our behinds and start doing some upside thinking, read some wonderful books, and really connect into our own vulnerability, have our own aha moment. Take responsibility for our own actions. Pour into other people. Be influencers, game changers. You can do it in small ways by smiling at people, by extending a hand, carrying in someone's groceries, loaning somebody $20. All of those things can change the trajectory of somebody else's life. And that's what we want to do here on the edge. We want to get in. We want to be thought leaders. We want to be caring, giving individuals. Go back, brain. Listen to other edgy conversations. I told you, I got it for you. Everything from soup to nuts, okay? Art, entertainment, music, science, research, neuro-linguistic programming. Just some down and dirty sex talk sometimes. It'll get you through the day. So I love you. Thank you so much, Lisa Marie Pulaski, for being here on The Edge. Please come back. And we have another book offering that we are going to raffle off. For you, brain. So stay tuned. Be sure to like, love, and follow. All right, Lisa?
All right.
All right, brain.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you all soon. Promise me that you're going to be the best possible person that you can be. Have a great day.